Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. The awesome blessing of the new covenant. The new covenant that he would come, that he would not only save us and shed his blood to give us forgiveness of sins, but that he would transform us by putting his spirit in us and putting his writing his words on our minds and on our hearts so that he could come and live in us. Sanctified, cleansed, made whole so that we could be temples of God. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Today's Communion Sunday, and we're going to focus completely on Jesus, on the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, and all that he did for us. Because only Jesus, the Lamb of God, is worthy of all of our praise, all of our attention, all the glory, all the honor, all the riches. And that's what communion's about. Communion Sunday, communion service, when we receive the body and blood of Jesus, we focus specifically on Jesus, our God, our Savior, our King, his eternal love. Thank God that his love is eternal. And what he's done for us is eternal, and his love endures forever. His work that he's done for us, what he's accomplished for us, endures forever. It will never change. No one can ever steal it from us or take it from us. Amen. Today, as we're taking communion, we take time to remember and honor the love of Jesus, the love of God that he manifested for us. While we were sinners, yet while we were sinners, God demonstrated his love for us, that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. He manifested that love as he was led to the cross as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus loves us so much that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep had gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own ways. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Laid on him, the precious Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. In John's vision of the Lamb of God in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, says he saw the Lamb of God standing as though it had been slain. And then the elders and the creatures prostrated themselves before the Lamb of God. And now they sing a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it. For you were slain, you were sacrificed, and with your blood, Jesus, the Lamb of God, you purchased men unto God." He purchased every one of us. He purchased men and women from every tribe and language and people and nation. How awesome is that? And you have made them a kingdom, a royal race of priests to our God. And they shall reign as kings over the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels on every side of the throne, and of the living creatures and the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. Wow. That's who we worship with all the time. And they were saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was sacrificed to receive all power and riches and wisdom and might and honor, majesty, glory, splendor, and blessing." Amen. So when we receive communion, we're declaring together in the unity of the Spirit of God that we believe in our hearts Jesus is the Son of God, that he has come in the flesh. He's the Messiah who died on the cross, paid the penalty for our sins so we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. And just as the blood of the Lamb at Passover celebrated deliverance from slavery in Egypt for Israel, we believe Jesus told us to take communion, to receive communion, in order to remember his deliverance from the power and penalty of sin which was purchased with his precious blood, the perfect Lamb of God. The broken bread and the cup of juice describes the manner of his sufferings, his death, by having his body wounded, bruised, and broken, and his blood shed on the cross for us. Not only that, but this special time when we receive communion together, when we receive the body and blood of Jesus together, allows us to express our belief and focus and remember the blessings and the benefits which we've received by his death. Here's just a few of those blessings, which we find a good list of them in Psalm 103. Because in Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5, the psalmist told us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all his benefits." But I added to it, those benefits which come only through the body and blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it only comes to those who put their trust and faith in him to save them from their sins. These are the benefits for us who have faith and who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He has redeemed our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. He satisfies our mouths with good things. He makes sure that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Then down in verse 8 through 12, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious." Hallelujah. "Slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He has not dealt with us according to our sins." Aren't we glad for that? Amen. "Nor punished us according to our iniquities. Because for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is our Father's love, is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins and transgressions from us." Another blessing that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.' Why did he do it? So that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, in and through Christ Jesus." Why? So that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. We have received the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, who now lives and dwells in us. Why? Because Jesus took the curse for us. He took that curse off of us. He reversed the curse. And he bore that curse upon himself that we might receive that incredible promise of the Spirit of God through faith. Then another blessing, Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. "Through his body and blood, through his death, burial, and resurrection, ascension, and exaltation, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into his very own kingdom, the kingdom of his love. In whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins." And then again in Colossians 1, 19 through 22, specifically talks about the body and the blood of Jesus, which we'll be receiving and taking later. "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And we who were once alienated and enemies in our minds by our wicked works, yet now he is reconciled." How? "In the body of his flesh through death. For what purpose? To present us holy and blameless and above reproach in the sight of God." Praise God. And we know also when we receive communion, it's a way for us to demonstrate our sense of gratitude and declare our thankfulness for his amazing love and willingness to take on human flesh, for God to take on human flesh and to suffer and die in our place, pay the ultimate price to redeem us and transfer us into his kingdom and make us his children. One of my favorite verses, communion verses, and I shared this, I think, maybe last month or the month before, is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 7 especially, where you actually get a chance to see Jesus and Father God having a conversation about him being willing to take on a body of flesh to come down and not only be the high priest, but as the high priest to offer himself as the perfect sacrifice to permanently remove sins from God's people. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 7, we read this. Because we know that the blood of bulls and goats is powerless to take sins away permanently, Jesus had this conversation with his Father. Hence, when Christ entered into the world, he said to the Father, he's speaking to the Father, sacrifices and offerings you've not desired, but instead you've made ready a body for me to offer. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no delight. Just remember, this is Jesus talking to the Father about establishing the new covenant and about being a sacrifice. You have taken no delight. Then I said, behold, Jesus says to the Father, behold, here I am. I'm coming to do your will, Father, to fulfill what is written of me in the volume of the book. He's come to fulfill everything that's written about him in the Old Testament. And I'll go quickly to Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. It talks about what Jesus, another thing that Jesus accomplished for us when he came in the flesh. Since therefore these, his children, talking about us, share in flesh and blood, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature by taking on flesh and blood, that by going through death he might bring to nothing and make of no effect him who had the power of death. He's talking about the devil. That is the devil. And also that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through fear of death were held in bondage through the whole course of their lives. He came to set us free from Satan who had the power of death and to set us free from the fear of death. We don't fear death anymore because we know that Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that the promise of the resurrection, he's the first fruits of those resurrections and what happened with him. Should we die instead of being raptured out of here, will happen to us, that we'll be resurrected with eternally new bodies and we'll live eternally with him. Jesus promised us in John 6, he said, those who eat my body and drink my blood shall never die, but shall live forever. And not only that, but the life that I will come, as we just sang, greater is he who lives in us than he who lives in the world. He said, when you eat my body and my blood and you really receive me by faith and understand all that I've done through my body and blood, me and the Father will come and live in you and you will live in me. So not only does he live in us, but we live constantly in him because of what he's done for us through his body and his blood. Then back to Hebrews 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I have come to do your will. It says in chapter 10, verse 10 of Hebrews, it's according with the will of God that we've been made holy, consecrated, and sanctified through the offering that was made once and for all through the body of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Whereas this one Christ, after he had offered a single sacrifice for our sins that shall avail for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, then to wait until his enemies should be made a stool beneath his feet. For by the single offering, he has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. We have been forever and completely cleansed and perfected by what Jesus has done for us through his body and blood. We have been made holy because of Jesus, what Jesus did for us on the cross through his body and blood. Then, verses 19 through 25, which is one of the greatest blessings of all, and it seems to be what the Lord has been speaking to many of our hearts, that being in his presence is the ultimate blessing and the ultimate gift. But we could never have come into his presence had Jesus not made a way for us with his body and blood. Because we were defiled, we were full of sin, we were full of wickedness. There was no way that we could go into the presence of God. But as we just read, with one single offering, Jesus took care of that and forever completely cleansed and perfected us and consecrated us and made us holy. So now, we're told in Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brothers and sisters, children of God, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter now into the Holy of Holies, we are all kingdom priests now that Jesus purchased with his blood, and we all have access to the Holy of Holies. We all can go right into Father God's presence ourselves now. That is the greatest blessing of all. 24/7 we can be in his presence. Have confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and the virtue that is in the blood of Jesus. By the fresh, new, and living way which he initiated and dedicated, which he opened for us through the separating curtain, which is the veil that was over the Holy of Holies, that is through his flesh. Jesus' flesh was ripped and torn open for us to make a way. Just like when he died on the cross, that veil was ripped in the Holy of Holies from the top to the bottom. Paul's telling us, the writer of Hebrews is telling us, that that's how Jesus made a way for us to get into the Holy of Holies, that his flesh being ripped was just like, was a way for us, his flesh being ripped and his blood being shed was the only way that we could now enter into the Holy of Holies. What an awesome God. What a wonderful Savior. And since we have such a great and wonderful high priest now who rules over the house of God, let us come forward and draw near. We can now draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts. Unqualified assurance and absolute conviction that's produced only by our faith, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty conscience and our bodies cleansed with pure water. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope that we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable and faithful to his word. He is so reliable and faithful to his word. Let us consider also and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting the assembly together as believers. So important, as is the habit of some people. But instead, let us admonish, warn, urge, and encourage one another to do all that we can for the kingdom of God and for his glory, and all the more faithfully as we see the day of our Lord's return approaching. As we see the day of our bridegroom coming back to get us, his bride, we should be more and more on fire for him, more and more encouraging one another. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do this for him. Let's do all that he's asked us to do for him. He is worthy. But most of all, let's worship him. Let's praise him. If I could have the ushers go ahead and pass out the body and the blood of Jesus. Remember, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Go ahead, ladies. Thank you. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Thank God that even though we had gone astray and there was no way for us to ever get back to God, that God had a marvelous plan, and he made that plan with his son Jesus to establish a new covenant. He decided that he would put all of our iniquities on him, all of our transgressions. Jesus would bear that, and that Jesus would bear the wrath of God for us so that we would never have to. But the only way that Jesus knew he could do it was by taking on a body and having his precious body torn open, bruised, broken for us. So as we prepare to receive the body of the Lord, as I was reading again through Hebrews chapter 10, those verses where Jesus is talking to the Father, and he says, look, for thousands of years they've been sacrificing rams and goats and bulls and turtle doves, and all those things never could take away sin permanently, but I know I'm going to make this covenant with you, Father. I know you've prepared a body for me. I'm going to go down there and use my body and blood to establish this new covenant. I'm going to take away the sins of your people forever. To think about that conversation and then to think about what Paul teaches us here in 1 Corinthians 11, when Jesus takes the bread and then he says, take and he breaks it, gives thanks and breaks it. And then he says, take and eat, because this is my body that the Father prepared for me to be broken for you. Kind of gives it a lot more significance when you think about those verses together, that Jesus had that conversation with his Father. And then when it comes right before he's going to the cross to have his body broken and die, shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins and to purchase us back for Father God, he tells them, do this in remembrance of me, because this is my body. This is the body the Father gave me to be broken for you, to reconcile you back to him. Amen. He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's receive the broken, pierced body of the Lord together. And let us receive all the amazing benefits that come from that, especially the reconciliation to Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being willing to take on that sinless, perfect body and be the perfect Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. You knew exactly what you were taking that body for, that you would, as the high priest yourself, that you would present that body as the perfect offering, as the perfect Lamb of God to take away our sins and reconcile us back to the Father, to sanctify us, make us completely whole. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your precious, wonderful gift. Thank you for doing that for us. You are worthy of all of our praise, Lord. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Thank God for the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Not only does it give us forgiveness of sins, not only does it purchase us and redeem us back to Father God, but Jesus had to sign the new covenant with his blood. Covenants were always sealed in blood, and Jesus knew that the only way that the new covenant could be established and sealed so that we could not only have forgiveness of sins, but have the Spirit of God living and dwelling in us and be transformed and made new creations in Christ, that he would have to seal it with the blood, with his own sinless, perfect blood. This cup, Jesus said, is the new covenant in my blood, and it also is for the forgiveness of sins, he said in Matthew. This do, and as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, Let's receive the precious blood of Jesus together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Paul finishes in 1 Corinthians 11:26. He says, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are proclaiming that by his death on the cross, through his broken body and his shed blood, that he paid the price for our sins, that he alone made a way for us to have our sins forgiven and have the gift of eternal life, and that he alone made a way for us now to come into the Holy of Holies 24/7, every single day of our life, for the rest of eternity, to be in the presence of Almighty God our Father. No wonder that they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And in the book of Revelation, they said, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, we can hear saying, "Blessing and honor, glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you. Father, we thank you for all the benefits. We thank you for, most of all, forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, and the ability to come into your presence. Access, 24/7 access to you now, Father. Thank you that we can spend our lives in your presence in the Holy of Holies. And thank you that you now live and dwell in us. And Father, we thank you for all the benefits too, that you've forgiven all our iniquities, you've healed all our diseases, you've delivered us from a life of destruction. Hallelujah. You have crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. You've satisfied our mouth with good things. You've renewed our youth like the eagles. I see lots of youth in here. Y'all ready to dance and worship the Lord with your youth? Amen. Let's worship him and praise him. Amen. He alone is worthy of all our praise, King Jesus. Mm-hmm.